University and community college presidents have come from different walks of life. Oregon Institute of Technology's Dr. Naganathan got the chance to come to the United States in 1979 on a scholarship to Clarkson University in New York.
I wish this was all a very chartered path. I can assure you it was not. As a matter of fact, I'm doing everything I said I will not do in my life. And I grew up in India. I was going to be an officer in the Indian Navy. That's what I wanted to be. That was my aspiration. And it so happened I went to officer selection, got through most of it, but in the medical, they surprised me. They said my color perception was not up to Navy standards, which was a complete surprise to me. I'm not colorblind, but I didn't even know I had the defect until I went to their extensive testing. So I had no plans to leave India. I did not want to go to graduate school. And I did not want to be in management. And go figure, right? I'm the president of a university in the United States. Who could have projected? This was 1978. I did join an industry. I was going to be an engineer in industry. And then pretty soon I realized, within the first few months, I'll be swimming in the ocean of engineers. I had to do something to make myself distinctive. So it's funny because those days, the MBA programs were just coming into vogue in India. And I got into the Harvard of India at the time. And 2 weeks, I just didn't feel it was me. And meanwhile, my friends had said, you have good credentials, why don't you apply to the universities in the United States? So I had applied, but I wasn't too keen about leaving India. But it takes several months. I had sent applications. I even had 4 scholarships in my hand, but I was not, this was just so tangential to what I was planning to do. And then, what do you know, 2 weeks of management school convinced me, maybe I should stay in the technical line. So I took one of those scholarships. I was fortunate to come to the United States in 1979. And then I did my master's at Clarkson University in New York. And one thing leads to another. Everything is, it was happenstance at every stage. A series of events happened and a decision happened. I went to Oklahoma State for my PhD, worked with a wonderful professor there also. And who really taught me a lot of stuff beyond my just subject. I really saw the impact it was making in education, and it made me consider a career in education, even though I still thought I would go into industry.
Southern Oregon University's Dr. President Linda Schott grew up in a rural area in Texas and came to love education when she started going to school.
I grew up on a ranch in the hill country of Texas. Neither of my parents had graduated high school. And so when I went to school, I just loved it. And what I wanted to do in education kept changing. So when I was in middle school, I wanted to be a middle school teacher. And when I was in high school, I wanted to be a band director. And then I went to college to be a high school teacher. And at some point, my college professor said, you should go to graduate school. And I'm like, what's that? I don't know what that is. And so then I wanted to be a college professor, right? I was fortunate to be able to continue going to school and to achieve that dream. But then when I became a college professor, I began just seeing all the ways that the institution wasn't working very well for many people. You know, I was just angry and frustrated about it at first. And then I thought, well, I guess if somebody's going to have to make change, it might as well be me. And so I started moving into positions where I had more power.
Rogue Community College's Dr. Kathy Kemperpel started out as a marine biologist.
So I went into research. I had a biology degree, a master's degree in biology. And I worked as a marine biologist for about 5 years and really loved it, but learned, I was working at a university in Louisiana. And a faculty member became really ill and couldn't teach any of his classes. And a bunch of us were asked to take one of his classes and cover his load. And I had taught high school and didn't like that at all and didn't ever want to go back and do that. But it was really different at the college level. And and I got really interested in teaching part-time, kind of as an extra, aside from my research job. And then when our research grant folded and wasn't funded anymore, I moved to Texas, and I thought, well, shoot, I'm just gonna check out the local community college, because that's where I got my start, and I had some really great science teachers there. So maybe I'll test the waters and see if I like that. I loved it, and I taught part time for a few years while my kids were tiny, and then as soon as they were in school, I went full time.
Klamath Community College's Dr. Roberto Gutierrez felt influenced by his parents and students and taught social sciences and saw the way students would light up.
To be part of the acquisition of knowledge and sharing that knowledge with others was very important to me. I know it started with my parents, and then I just fell in love with teaching. And I taught social sciences, first at the high school level, and later on in college. And to see students gain that knowledge in the classroom and how they lit up, and then eventually develop critical thinking skills, and then in social sciences, able to better themselves, because as they learn, they also have to look at themselves. And I'm also looking at myself, because when I learned these things, I had to look in the mirror. Why do I behave this way? What motivates me, and so on? And I like to think I became a better human being because of that.
To go a little more in depth about her background into community college, leadership and education, and experiential learning, Dr. Kemperpel spoke about how she ran a research lab.
I was running a research lab where I had a whole bunch of students working for me as lab assistants. I was training all the time. And, you know, it wasn't a classroom style of teaching, but I was teaching people constantly. And what I learned, and what I had learned from my own college career, was that experiential learning was way more valuable than someone standing up in front of the room talking at me. And so when I began to teach, 3 months into my first teaching job at a community college in Houston, I was asked if I would be interested in teaching a biological field course in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I had done something similar as an undergrad, and my community college had offered something like that. And I just jumped at it, because that's the experiential learning that really turned me on to the sciences and made me develop a passion for that. And I thought, gosh, if I can pass that opportunity along to my students, that would be fabulous. So for 7 years, I did a field course in Rocky Mountain National Park in summer one, and I did one on the Buffalo River in Arkansas in summer two. And the last couple of years, I also did one in Costa Rica.
Similar to the answers from the other doctors, Dr. Naganathan described how education was the ticket out of poverty for him.
It's not as though there was this vision that said you should be an engineer. To be honest, I remember my father telling me one day, if you want to eat, go to college. If you want to eat well, become an engineer or a doctor. That was his advice to me. Very succinct and very impactful. The thing is, like I said before, even before this question, I'm here because of education and higher education. I think education is not, I always talk about this, particularly in the context of graduate education. I think it is true at every level right now. Education is really less about the what. Obviously, you need to have specific skill sets if you are a journalist, if you are an engineer. That is subject-specific expertise. To me, education is about the how and the why. What will you do with it, and what kind of difference you can make with it? I think education increasingly, when I went to school in medieval period 50 years ago, when I was an undergraduate student, you know, at the time you had to learn from physical books. You had to go to library to get physical books. Now at the fingertips, you have so much information. Of course, you still have to have a way of telling which is good, which is not correct information. Nevertheless, I think now you have more opportunity to really make great impact for education. education, it's really not learning the subject as much as learn to learn.
To Klamath Community College's Dr. Gutierrez, education meant servant leadership and being selfless.
I like to think that I'm a servant first before anything else. I'm about people, serving them, and that would be a Robert Greenleaf's servant leadership model. So what can I do to help people? You know, what can I do to, and use education, what can I, and I like to think that I hire administrators that have the same mindset, that is a servant leadership model. It's not about how can I use this position to improve myself. This is a calling. This is not just a job or a career.
Not being able to connect with the students face-to-face has affected the relationships between students and faculty. Being able to be in a position of power has kept President Schott in touch with the younger generation.
What I miss this term is not seeing my students in person. That's where I get some of my energy, is from the energy of younger folks and seeing their hopes and dreams. I think it's given me a kind of hope in the future, because even though I feel like my generation has kind of screwed things up and I wish we had done better, I just know there are so many younger people with so much talent, and even older people or people, middle-aged people who decide to come back to the university or come to the university for the first time. I see how it changes them and opens their eyes and just helps them transform as human beings. That's just a really hopeful thing to see.
To President Kemper-Pell, the relationship between students and teachers is a partnership.
The first time I said that, my faculty kind of looked at me funny and said, "What do you mean a partnership?" And but I do. It is a teaching and learning partnership. You could be teaching, but if your students aren't learning, you haven't accomplished anything. So this has to be a partnership between a student and an instructor. And the student has to put in their effort too, as does the instructor. So, you know, it's a two-way street, and it's a two-way communication process that ultimately results in the student having skills and abilities that they didn't have before. And it's, you know, it sounds really simple. Of course, it's not.
Seeing the way graduates are successful is one of the fulfilling matters that Dr. Naganathan enjoys as president of OIT.
To see how well our graduates do, that is the beauty of this profession, right? You continue to create this wealth for the society wherein the people are doing well. At the same time, you can see because of them doing well, one of the participants, it is me, we get to make that difference through them. And my role as president is not the title as much as the ability of this role to create new opportunities for the students. Things they may not even have conceived that is possible for them. Because, you know, like I said, I never saw myself as the president, not because I did not think I will not be able to handle the job. It just wasn't for consideration based on life's parameters, right? I remember a mentor who looked at me and said, "I will not accept you not taking this phone call from so-and-so." I mean, it takes men who see the talent in you. He said, "Nagi, you have to do this." And that is where all these things happen. Likewise, I want to create opportunities for our students. So as a president, there are always pressures, but you get to make that difference when you keep your eyes on what you are able to make happen. Of course, no one person does it. You do it in a community that supports that student's education.
Despite not being in administration at the start of their journey as presidents, they have all been able to become pillars in college education. Each have had their own educational backgrounds that have helped them establish themselves as higher education leaders, but their goal is the same: to look out for and care about their students and faculty. I'm Gloria Safarn. Thanks for listening.